this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Hallelujah. It's so exciting for me to be here with you today, and because I know that God loves the local church. And everywhere I travel and everywhere I go, I very scarcely see God so committed to a certain individual and his own ministry in comparison to a local church wherever we go. And you know what? God's kingdom will come through the local church, and he will use us as a body, as all the local churches collectively. So I really want to honor all of you by making the right choice by coming today, because this is where God wants to be. We are his plan A, his only plan, and it's through his local church, it's through his body that he will make himself known to this world more than ever before. So let us always just have that excitement, have the passion, have a commitment for the local church, the local body, because that's really where God is moving in and through. So it's great to be here in this morning, and a couple of us, we traveled to Myanmar for about 2 weeks. We came back earlier this week. And the reason I say Myanmar is actually in the Burmese language. Myanmar, the country's name was Burma before it changed to Myanmar, but this was like 22 years ago. But in the Burmese language, they don't have the letter R, like R. So they don't say Burma or Myanmar or whatever, so they say Myanmar. Just for in case you wanted. And it was so funny, while we were there, the contact we had, we ate some really good but also interesting foods at some points, and then you just have this small bowl of, you really can't identify what it is. So many a times we just ask this guy, okay, so what is it that we are eating? Because in many of the states in Myanmar, they love to eat dogs, right? So if they give us dog, we will eat it, but we would just like to know what it is we are eating, right? And we had some team members who have dogs themselves and really love it. So it's a very interesting concept for us, because dogs are our pets, but for some people it's not as much. So we would ask this guy, what are we eating? Then he would say, it is fly meat. Right? Fly meat. Then immediately I would know, I cannot say R, it's fried meat, like, you know, in oil. But then I would just see the team members' eyes going, are we eating flies? Like, no. It's fly to meat. So we went to Myanmar, and it was such a blessed and great time spent in the country. It's winter there at the moment, but it's double as hot as here. So it's crazy. Praise God, I haven't been there in the summer yet, but let's not say that out loud. We had a really blessed time there, and God showed and revealed a lot of things about himself there to us as a team, about his church, and about his plans for the country as a whole. And it was really such a privilege for us to go. So I really want to just thank every one of you who partnered with us in either giving financially or giving in prayer, and just really sowing with us all the seeds needed for the country then. I don't want to share too much about what we experienced in Myanmar, as we have mission feedback services for those, but it was so great to see the hunger of the local church as in Myanmar. And Myanmar, for such a long time, they've had a military government up till recently. In this year, they've got a new election, and which will be in power in March next year. So it's really been a closed-off country since forever. And it's so great to see the country just practically developing. And like, I drive a relatively small car, Ford Figo, okay, for those of you who know it. Like, the car that I drive about 5 years ago would cost anything between 4 to 6 million rand in Myanmar. So no one had cars except the military generals, right? And a normal SIM card for your cell phone would cost 30,000 rand. So you can think now cars are the same prices as here. SIM card you pick up for 2 rand. So the country in the last 5 years has really just developed so much. But with the physical change in people getting cars, getting access to cell phones, and thus the outside world, their hearts are so open. And it's so great to just see not just the friendliness of the people, but irrelevant to what religion they are. They are so open just to bless us. Many places we came, we are the first white people they would see, or the first outsiders they would see. But it's so great how open they are. because they've been so used to change and something new over the past year, so they're open to the gospel. So we've seen so many salvations and healings, and praise God for that. But something that really stirred my heart was the hunger the local church had there for the preaching and the teaching of the word. We would arrive at a church early morning and leave late afternoon. We would have brought four messages, and then you're still like, okay, like, come on. We usually do one. But then they just sit and want more. They are so hungry for the word of God, so hungry for impartation, and so open to be taught. So it was such a privilege for us to go. And in the hunger the church has, I would look at who's sitting in front of us. It's people that's been in ministry as long as I am old. And they have so much experience and so much dealings with being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But then I look at myself, and then I look at the team that went. And, you know, some of us have only followed the Lord for about 1 to 2 years, right? But then we have so much to give the church. We have so much to give the leaders. We have so much to give the pastors in what we know. And what I realized, and I actually sat down with the team at some point during the mission, I said, we should really count our blessings to be part of Shofar. We are Shofarite or Shofarian, whatever we call it. Because God has really blessed us as a movement with importation, with wisdom, with knowledge, with great and sound teachings. But I think sometimes if you don't get to the places out there, we don't realize what we know as Christians, or what we know even just us after the first year of Bible school. We know much more than the majority of the church out there. And so it was one thing, it was two things for me. Firstly, it was I was so grateful that God has placed me in a family such as this. And it's all beyond a shofar, it's not perfect. And I don't think any church will ever be. But God blessed us so much with what He gives. So I was firstly so thankful that God has brought me into shofar. And secondly, I realized the importance of going, just on another level, except from God commanding us to go and to preach. Don't even have to go to Myanmar, but as you go to Pick and Pay, wherever, I think we all know that, the importance for us to share the knowledge that God has given us, spiritually and head knowledge. Because I think the dangers of us only coming to church weekly and only receiving and not giving, there's this term, I don't know how, it's not doctrinally correct, I think, but I call it, we become spiritually fat because we don't give out what we're receiving. And I was just so again realized, like, yes, Lord, you've given each and every one of us so much. How can we hold this back for ourselves? It was such a blessing to go to Myanmar. And I'm going to just speak about glimpses of what we experienced there and how we saw God move. But then there's one thing specific I want to speak to us about today, and it's Zoe. Zoe is life, life in abundance. And we read in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And this is Jesus saying, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Why did Jesus come to earth? Through the cross we have received salvation and reconciled to our Father. But why did Jesus come? So that we may have life and have it more abundantly. To sum it up, that's called Zoe. Right? So we as Christians, we need to be alive because that is what Jesus came to earth to do, to give us that life, give us that abundance. Like, we are not alive simply because our hearts are beating. Unfortunately not. I think the Pharisees, their hearts were beating while they were crucifying Jesus. They were so dead inside. But Jesus came so that we can have something more than just a heartbeat and being alive naturally. He came for an abundant life. And this is not for us to hold on to nurture, to in the sense of fear, hold on to our salvation. Because the thing, if Jesus gave us salvation freely and fully through the cross, there's not a thing we need to hold on to and fear of losing. It's something we need to acknowledge. Thank you, Jesus. We have salvation. Then what should we do by having that security or having that peace or having that joy is having a life, right? But Jesus came so that we may have a life as Christians. Not a life to be boring, to be dull, adventureless, without fun, without joy, no. He came so that we can have everything that is alive more abundantly. Do we live lives so much the same as the world lives that we don't actually have anything to offer them? I shared, I can't remember where, but I think sometimes the world looks at the church, and I believe the world is so hungry to have what we have. Yes, of course, we and they pursue money, they pursue sexual relationships, they pursue all these things they think that will make them happy, and then obviously realize that it does not fulfill them. So I believe the world is so hungry for what we say we have is Jesus. It's life in abundance, it's joy everlasting, salvation. But I don't think the world primarily looks at what we say or what we preach. They look at how we live. Do we live lives that when someone that does not know Jesus simply observe our lives, would they want what we have or not? Do we as Christians even smile in our daily lives? Do we even appear to be happy, even just moving away from really being happy? I think many times we lose the chance in ministering and sharing the gospel because from the word go, no one is interested. Because our lives are also just lives full of complaining, full of nagging, full of sorrow, full of lack. And whenever people complain, whether it be in our workplace or campus or families, whenever we speak bad about people or the country or about the lack of finances and, oh, yes, see the dollar-rand exchange, oh, Jonas, we jump in and we are negative with them. And then immediately it shows that we have a lack. Do we as Christians have a lack? No. Jesus came to give us life so that we can have it more abundantly. Not partial, not for some of us. For those who are in Christ Jesus, which are all of us, He came to give us life freely. We don't need to earn it. I don't need to buy it. I just need to accept it and lay down our lives in order to pick it up. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. For a long time I believed that eternity only started the day I met Jesus. And then that caused me to do a lot of dead work stuff in order that I need to stop sinning and I need to do all these things. But truth is, Jesus paid for my sins, forgave all my sins. I simply need to change the way I see myself in accordance to the Word of God, right? That's called repentance. So eternity started when? I think even before the world was created. Eternity has been running before we were born. We were destined for eternity. Stand here. This is better. Let's see what happens. So God is there. Through God, we have eternal life. And obviously, if we do not have Jesus, we have eternal death. Right? And I don't think that death starts only the day that we give our last breath. Because I see so many people, and people always think, oh, are zombies real? Yes, I believe zombies are real. Because I see a lot of them every day. The walking dead. And unfortunately, Myanmar is quite, I don't feel any spiritual oppression or any darkness, waviness there that we experience in most countries. The only time we really felt like, yes, now we are walking into a fat marshmallow as the oppression comes. We went to the biggest temple in Myanmar. It's called the Shwe Dagon Pagoda. And it is this massive place where people worship Buddha, right? A bunch of Buddhists there. And then I always make sure if God tells us to go to places like that, because I hate to go there. Because it breaks my heart to just practically see idolatry manifested. You practically see people worshipping idols and man-made stuff. Sometimes it's more difficult to see it here in our lives because we don't have temples, but we have cell phones, which can be a really good idol, bad idol. But then I walk around, I'm like, yes, Lord, this... I can't imagine what Jesus would have looked like walking there, how his heart must have been broken, how people deliberately choose to worship these things. But the sad thing is that many of them have never had the chance to hear the truth, to hear the gospel. So most of those people walking there, it's the living dead. They don't know Jesus. Where are they headed? It's always hectic for me to see that Jesus came to give us life in abundance, and that does not start in heaven. It starts here. Eternal life starts the day we give our lives to Jesus Christ, and then God has called us to on this earth not only look happy, but be happy as His children, to live in abundance, to live in joy, to live in no lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing as a son of God. What does our lives reflect? Because when the world looks at us, they don't care about what we have to say. They look at our lives. It's not what I say today that will change anything, but it's who I am. Uncle Angus Bachan, he said something. He said that. He said, it's not what I preach will never change anyone. It's who I am. It changes people. Who are we? What lives do we live? Zoe lives or lives of fear? Lives of want or lives where we one foot in church and one foot are we conforming to this world because we are talking with them? All of these negative things. And you know what? What I read in Scripture, the people that Jesus really didn't like, the grumblers and moaners, right? And I believe when we think we can sort of do things on our own power and our own strength. I believe a different word for that, even when we become spiritually fat, I believe a different word for that is just pride. And also reading Scripture that God accepts anyone that stands before Him. God will accept anyone if you come to Him, if you lay down your life and you want to follow Him, give Him your all. But there's only one type of person that God rejects. Who's that? The proud. God rejects the proud. But do we live our lives thinking that we can do something to make our lives better? Are we solely dependent on God because we have laid down our lives? Give Him. You see, Jesus laid down His life in order that we may have life, right? What's Jesus' expectation? He said, those who lose their life will find it. So have we lost our lives and found the life in abundance through the cross of Jesus Christ? Because that is a life irrelevant to what happens in the world. We lack nothing. This is why Paul, whether having everything or whether having nothing, whether being in prison or being set free, he could rejoice because who he was not determined by where he was or what he had. But I believe many times we sort of change the way we feel about ourselves in accordance to what we have or where we are. How would we feel if we were put in prison today? Practically, it sucks. I don't know, has anyone been in prison sitting here? Annika. You're welcome to come and share your experience. I believe it may not be so. I don't believe it's so great to be in prison, but even more so in the days of the disciples. I think prison was a bit more like prison should be. Right? A bit less comfortable, a bit less light, a bit less soft mattresses and stuff. But even in today, I think, would we rejoice being persecuted or not? If we would lose our house, here's a tough one, lose our family, would we rejoice because it does not change who we are? Nothing that happens to us in this life changes the fact that we are children of God. Paul managed to rejoice in every circumstance. And we read about his crazy stories and how the angels came and how God came and how obviously how close he was with God. And I believe it's because he had such a heart devoted to him. He lived a life of abundance. The world makes a life of abundance one where you need 200 houses, you need a Lamborghini and a Merc and all of those things and 50 wives. And I don't know, we have really warped ideas of what an abundant life is. But I think the best example to look at is firstly Jesus Christ. But then Paul, I think, sets a perfect example. Because he's been through hell on earth. But it did not change who he was. Always thankful, always rejoicing, always worshiping. Because he remained the Son of God, in prison or not, having a family or not, having money or food or not. And it's such a great thing for me, one of our partners in Myanmar, the church is persecuted there, and he's been put in jail a couple of times, and police just rock up during times of worship, and they pluck everything out and drag him off to jail. And then what he does next is, as soon as they release him, what's the first thing he does? He goes to church and they worship as loud as they can. Because nothing that anyone ever will do to him will stop him from worshiping God. Because now he stands before the government officials and all of that, and they make him sign all these papers that forces him to stop worshiping. As soon as they release him, what does he do? He doesn't worship. Louder and bigger than the time before. And that is why we can see God moving so powerfully. And that's why through Scripture we see God moving through the persecuted church like no other church, because it's really a place of where they've counted the cost, but more than that, they have life in abundance. Because irrelevant to what the government officials will do to our brother there, we'll never stop worshiping. He will never stop changing what God has taught him to do. He will never stop taking risks that we may see in our eyes in order for the kingdom. And the crazy thing is, because of the hunger of the church in Myanmar, it's illegal for any people outside to stay with locals and all of those things. But the people were so hungry for the church. And we spent every day about 5 hours minimum on the road, driving to and fro, just to have church all day. But on last two nights, a partner was just like, you need to stay here, because we want more, of the church. And I remember it was a Saturday night, it was 9 o'clock, and there was a hall full of just young kids, ranging from, I'm very bad with guessing ages, especially in the East, about 4 to 20, of the place just being packed, of being people hungry for God, hungry for the Holy Spirit, hungry to receive more. But you know what? If anyone has to come in there and take everything away from them, which has happened with most of them because they're all orphans, they will still worship God. They've got a life and they understand an abundant life more than what I do. Because I know in many ways, a lot of stuff that I have still brings me happiness and joy, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. I would love if God would give me a Mercedes. But I think I know why he hasn't done it yet, because I love speed as well. So you see, I'm just, such a sinner. But there's nothing wrong with having those things if God blesses us, but if it should be taken away, it should not change at all who we are. That is what a life of abundance looks like, sounds like. And you know what, when the world would look at the church, and as the world will start to take more and more away from the church, but if they would see our faith will not be shaken, our joy would not be taken away, you know what, our testimony then is that of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because only out of a place of abundant life, that's why Jesus could hang on the cross, really being done in, right? He never did anything wrong. But being killed, he forgave every person in front of him. We can only do that when we have given up our lives and receive our eternal life from God, right? So that is a simple question. Do we live lives of abundance? In other words, have we given up our lives to receive that life? while we're still hanging on to many stuff in the world, if Zuma makes bad decisions, do we go into a mode of worrying? And on Facebook, they call it fear porn. You know, to click on all those things and to read it. And you know, Melody said something so special yesterday, and it really just confirmed so many things in my spirit. She said she stays away from reading all of the negative things about Zuma, because that hinders her from respecting him, and loving him, and honoring him. And it makes us want to comment and tag and become part of all these conversations about Zuma must fall, instead of praying for him, loving him. Yes, there's a place for leadership to be held accountable for their actions, especially if it's corruption, all of those things. But tell me, what is this spirit that Zuma must fall be done through? I only pick up a spirit of fear, spirit of rebellion. I believe there may be people who are really praying and through faith, working, doing all these things, and it's a place where God removes leadership. It's a place where God acknowledges. We read in the Bible, it say, and this guy, he was a wicked king. But do you remember the story about Saul and David? Saul was a wicked king. David had the opportunity to take his life, to take his place, and to build the kingdom exactly the way he wanted to. But David never did that. Cut off a piece of Saul's cloak instead of slitting his throat, and retreated and said, listen, I held your life in my hand, but I didn't take it. What would we do if Zuma came over for coffee at our house? Would we love him? Would we respect him? Would we honor him? We know David killed one of his kinsmen who rejoiced in the death of Saul. David killed him. Because how dare you say anything bad about the anointed from God? I don't know about you, but my Bible says all authority is appointed by God. Very sad to see when people in authority choose to make bad decisions, like Hitler, for example. But his authority came from God. That's why we need to keep on praying for our president. You need to keep on praying for your husbands. You need to keep on praying for your church leaderships. Because I believe it's God's will. He can change Zuma's heart in an instant. All that Zuma needs to do is he just has to fall asleep. And Jesus has to appear to him. That's all it takes. Me shouting and me being angry will never change anything about anything to what he does in his life. But I believe my prayer is more powerful. But God has been challenging me personally a lot, just where is my heart at? Because if I lack nothing, I really don't care in that sense. If Zuma makes bad decisions, because yes, practically it has a lot of influences. It may change your pension fund, may change the currency exchange. Heck, Zuma may even make a rule and outlaw churches. Will we stop having church? No. No, we won't. We will worship louder and harder. Zuma's not a provider. If it will change to 50 Rand per $1 will never faze me one second of my life, because God is my provider. I don't believe God will be shocked one day when the dollar is 50 Rand to one. All things belong to our God, right? I will never worry one day when the church gets persecuted. Yes, practically, it's not fun, it's not good. But you know what? I will never stop rejoicing, because I'm never in need of anything, because I have abundant life, Jesus Christ. And this is a constant struggle, as I believe all of you know. This world, it's so easy to creep into your lives, into your mind, into our marriages, into our friendships, want you to conform. And that is what Jesus, yes, we have received salvation in full, but what are the things we need to do? Do not conform to the things of this world. It's a constant renewing of your mind. What does constant mean? It's constant. Every day. 10 times a day. When there's something bad about your president, we click on it next time. We simply say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this reminder to pray for him. And then scroll on down. I believe the church needs to become more proactive, standing or the tools that God has given us through love, to not ever say anything bad about our leaders, because that's a bad place to be for you. All God requires of us is honoring. I believe when I will stand before God one day, He won't ask account of me of what Zuma did. He would ask me, how did you submit under him? Fully or not? There are two ways. I believe and I want to say, Lord, I submitted, honored, prayed for him every chance that I had. What he did, Lord, that's between him and you. But I prayed for him. I prayed for my church leadership, whether I agree with him or not. I prayed for my family members, whether I agree with him or not. I prayed for my boss at work, whether I agree with him or not. Whether I'm underpaid or not. God is our provider. He gives us a life in abundance. So why do we worry? Matthew 6:27 says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are we worrying? Why are we negative? Why are we motivated by fear? And why are we proud? I believe simply God just wants us to just look, not even spiritually at where we're at, but just practically. If you had to be a spectator of your life, what would your life reflect? Would it reflect Jesus, life in abundance, or not as much? Because what I see in many churches out there, that yes, there's a big need for spiritual maturity and growth and teachings and doctrines. But you know what? There's something they have which I believe no teaching or no doctrine will ever teach us. And that's a devoted life to the cross of Jesus Christ. People living in abundance when they have nothing. I think the biggest test will be for the Western church is if when persecution comes, what will the church do? What will we do? And it's a difficult question. It's something I remind myself of constantly. Christy, what would I do if they came for everything? Would I still worship? Would I still rejoice? Would I be like Jesus and forgive them? Even though I have really not done anything wrong, and that's not the case. So it's just a simple, practical look at our lives. Because I believe when we really understand and live lives of abundance, God does not bring us to our own holy huddle to sit and to grow and to become more spiritually fat, but He then places us in areas where we need to be the light. You see, light among other lights are not so effective, right? It becomes sort of irrelevant. If there's too many lights, you can't really see which one is doing what. But light is needed in darkness. And I believe when the church starts to clude itself and only wants to spend time in growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but not going and sharing, I believe that is when we become religious. And practically, there's this state in Myanmar called Chin State, and the whole of entire of Myanmar is 1% evangelical Christians. But there's this whole state to the north, which is like 90% Christians originally. But now, as people talk, you know, the worst place for them to go ever minister is in the Christian state, because what happened is the government closed it off. No airplanes, no buses, no nothing goes there. They need to fend for themselves. So in response, they never ever came out and never ever engaged with the Buddhists and the rest of the country. So what happened to the Christian state? Become religious. Become dead. They've become zombies. I believe there are some people still doing the work of Christ, but just as we hear that the most difficult work that the Christians do there is to go there, because it's the same concept of we only receive and we don't have an outlet. We become like the Dead Sea, right? We become dead. So God uses us and places us in circumstances that we must share. And that just leads me to the next practical question. When was the last time that you as an individual shared the gospel? And I believe that's a gauge in itself. When was the last time you shared the gospel to anyone? Because if we only receive and not give, we are dying the church. It's in sharing, it's in going, it's in preaching, it's in loving that we remain alive. Because the life in abundance is not just receiving and then have a self-preservated life where we just want to keep ourselves alive. It's a life of being filled and being empty constantly, every day. That is how we remain alive, and that is why Jesus commanded us to go. Because he knew if the church remained in Jerusalem, the church would not have grown or spread. That's why persecution came. So the light needs to be in the darkness so that the church can be alive. Because that's where we are effective. Amen? You guys agree? Do we live lives of abundance? John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And yeah, I want to tie into, if you haven't heard Philip's sermon about to be like children, go listen to it. It's really, really great. And it was great to see in Myanmar how God just placed the same message on our hearts wherever we came, because it's so easy to become the doctor or the CEO or the pastor or the leader and just sit and not wanting to ever smile because it's inappropriate. That sounds so boring. We all know that Jesus says, kingdom of heaven belongs to whom? Children. So we need to become childlike in whatever we do. And it was so great. We spent time in the Word around this very topic. And I remember as we left the church, walking out, heading to a road, like a bunch of people in the church just came out running. And it's these old people, right? They come out running and they just started throwing us with water. And everyone was laughing. And everyone was having fun. You know what's the first thing I noticed? Except from being wet, is that Jesus is right in the mix of throwing water. Jesus is so involved in us having fun. Because when we really have fun and when we laugh out of our bellies, like, and all the stuff wants to come out of our brains as we laugh, and it's really messy and it's really nasty, you know what happens in those moments? We forget who we are. No longer doctor this, pastor that, leader this, or reverend apostle, whatever that. We're just a child of God. And it's in those moments when we're most effective to be used by God. And it's in being like a child, we can only live lives of abundance. Does a child worry about what Zuma does? He wants to be with his daddy. He wants to have fun. He wants to be close to him. It's a place of responsibility. It's a place of accountability. All of those things, yes, in our lives. But it should never, ever steal our joy or take our focus away from who's our provider and who's our daddy. And this is the last thing I just found that God wants us to do. And it's a great holiday time for some of us, right? So I want to hold this thing before us. Whether you have holiday for 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, like some students, it's unfair. But whether how long you have, I want you to take your diary, your calendar, your app, whatever it is you use, and go to your family, go to your friends, and you need to schedule a time out. If you're a parent, let your wife take the kids, like let your husband take the kids. If you're a family, just say, listen, give me a day off. Give me half a day off, whatever you feel led to do. And I want you to go and consecrate yourself to God. After assessing practically what your life looks like, does it reflect life in abundance of joy and of Jesus? Or does this, do we talk with the world when they talk bad about everything? And then I just thought that we should just go and sit again with the Lord. And this is a time not where we make New Year's resolutions. It's not a time where we want to change the mistakes perhaps we've made this year. It's not a time where we make promises to God even. But this is a time where we spend time with God, for God. Do we know what that means? You say, Lord, I want to be with you, not because of anything that I need or anything I want to say. I want to be with you for you. Who wants to have friends if your friend only wants stuff from you the whole time? Not me. Who wants to have kids if your kids only want stuff from you the whole time? Obviously when they're babies, yes. But how would you feel if your kids have to come to you every single time and they sort of just fake with you because in going away they say, but oh, by the way, I want this. I pray that my kids will never be like that. I want my kids to want to be with me as their dad. Even if I give them stuff or not. I believe God feels the same way. I think He's sick and tired of us only wanting things from Him. But I believe He's a lot like us. He just wants to be with us. Do we want to be with God? Not want anything or hold anything before Him. Remind Him of anything or promise Him, Lord, in 2016, doesn't matter. And that's the only thing I want to encourage us to do. That's what I'm going to pray. If you agree, just pray by yourself as I pray this prayer as well. And I believe that in that time, as we get back to spending time with God, for God, He restores to us a focus, a priority. And that is where our daddy encourages us to be like children. Let us trust God for this moment where we laugh out of whatever place this is. Because that's when we forget about who we are. Stop boarding our kingdoms. Know our daddy. Let's live a life He has set out for us. Because our life is not our own. Amen. Let's pray. And if you want to pray with me, you can just do so as you are seated. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us life and it more abundantly. And Lord, today especially, I say I'm sorry, Lord, for the times where I've let the influences of this world and governments and people make me worry for a second. Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for talking negative about people in power. I'm sorry, Lord, for not respecting those you've placed in authority. Lord, I'm sorry for wanting to do things on my own accord, on my own power, and my own strength and knowledge. And today, Lord, I want to just come back to being your son, to abide in your promises and your word. And I want to lay down my life so that I can have my life in you through the cross, Jesus. You are the good shepherd, Lord, and I shall not want anything, ever. So I pray, Lord, that you would come and show me the areas of my life that does not bring glory to your name and reflect something to this world that is not of you and that you don't want in your church. Lord, I want to, when people from the outside look at my life, that they would want you. I pray that my life will simply be a testimony of the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would help me to come back to spending time with you, not for anything that I want or need or anyone else, but simply for you, Father. I want to hear what's in your heart. I want to know your desires. I simply want to be with you because I know you want me to, Lord. Father, come and take away anything prideful in my life. I pray that you replace it with your presence. You teach me to be humble in all my ways. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You
there